This Sunday, the 7th of February, is the Sunday that the Australian Catholic bishops have designated for the Catholic Church in Australia to remember and mark the Sunday of the Word of God. This was something Pope Francis instituted a few years ago, and the purpose of designating a Sunday to the Word of God is so that we can be reminded of the importance and value of sacred scripture for the Christian life, as well as the relationship between the Word of God and the sacred liturgy. I am reminded of the story that Dr. Scott Hahn tells of his path to conversion to the Catholic Church. As you may know, Dr. Hahn was a Presbyterian minister whose increasing reading of the documents from the early centuries of the Church, generally referred to as the Church Fathers, brought him to see that the Catholic Church of today was essentially the same as the first centuries. It hadn't been corrupted, but was in continuity with the early Church. Anyway, one day he quietly entered a Catholic chapel at the university where he was doing graduate studies. He went there to attend the midday mass. He did it with much trepidation. He didn't know what to expect. But to his surprise, he was astounded at how much of sacred scripture he heard in the mass. This blew out of the water the Protestant criticism that he had heard and knew well, that Catholics don't know the Bible. The Mass, he experienced, is full of sacred scripture. Let's just stop and consider this. Of course, it's unmistakable that there are four readings from the scripture at Mass, but there's more from the Bible than that at Holy Mass. The entrance and communion antiphons, the Alleluia and its versicle, the Sanctus, Holy, Holy, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, are all straight out of the Bible. And then there are phrases or sentences from the Bible in the Gloria, the Preface, the Eucharistic Prayer, and of course also in some of the hymns. We as Catholics live, breathe and speak the sacred scriptures. Just on that, it might interest you to know that the Holy Mass, as it was in 1962, before the changes, contains even more scripture than the new Mass does. There are whole psalms at various places, like Psalm 42 is recited at the prayers at the foot of the altar at the beginning of Mass. All of Psalm, or most of Psalm 25 anyway, is recited at the lavabo, the washing of hands. And the last Gospel was always the prologue of St. John's Gospel. You see, using the Word of God in sacred scripture has been around four centuries. But let us also note that the sacred scriptures are not in the sacred liturgy just to be listened to, though that is important. The words of sacred scripture are put upon our lips for prayer, for praise of God, and so that these holy words might seep into our memory and into our soul, where the Word of God exercises its awesome power. Now, apart from the Sunday of the Word of God, I wanted also to speak today of the difference between optimism and Christian hope. In common usage, the words optimism and hope can seem to mean the same thing, almost interchangeable. They can mean an expectation of happiness, the belief that something good is in the future. For the optimistic or hopeful person, things may be hard right now, but they will surely improve. Present difficulties are bearable, not only when they are seen as temporary, but especially when they are necessary for some future reward, like dieting to be more healthy or more attractive, or study and training to become a professional. But when speaking of virtue, it is useful to distinguish optimism from hope. Optimism can be defined as the expectation of good things in this life, obtained by natural means or natural powers, as the farmer expects to harvest the wheat he has planted. Hope can be defined as the expectation of good things, both on earth and in heaven, by the fulfillment of God's powerful promises. Thus we can say that optimism is the natural counterpart to the supernatural virtue of hope. The virtue of hope responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every person. Also, to have hope is to give honour to God, and so is a fulfilling of the first commandment, that we should have no other God but the one true God, whom Jesus Christ has revealed to us. Who could not place one's hope in God, who has revealed himself to us as almighty, merciful, and infinitely generous? Hope, along with the virtues of faith and charity, was infused directly by God into our soul at baptism, so as to make us capable of acting as his children and attaining eternal life with him forever in heaven. Hope sustains us in the conviction that God will keep his promises, will save us, and will bring us to the happiness of heaven. It is the firm confidence that nothing really, truly, and permanently bad can happen to us if we are children of God. Hope even makes it possible for martyrs to go to their deaths with joy. At the moment Job utters the words in our first reading, he has neither optimism nor hope. All he sees before him is unremitting suffering and then death. Even though the psalmist is in a bad place, he has hope that God will restore and save Israel. In the psalm, every follower of Christ can also hear both the beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," and Mary's song, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." Paul's hope is salvation for himself and those to whom he preaches. He is happy to work for his share in the gospel. Christ is really the object of our optimism and hope. Every good thing we want to possess and wait for here will be perfectly fulfilled in the possession of him. By practice and determination, we can make ourselves more optimistic. However, to become more hopeful, we have to cooperate with divine grace. This is why prayer is the key to growth in hope. We can strengthen hope by making acts of hope in our own words or by using a traditional prayer such as the following act of hope. O my God, relying on thy almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon of my sins, the help of thy grace, and life everlasting, through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen.